This is the second video in my Signals and Society series that explores how technology is impacting society as viewed through the lens of books, movies, and TV/streaming episodes. My next video will get back to my regular privacy and technology videos, but this video is based on the Netflix series Black Mirror, Season 3, Episode 1, called Nosedive. Lacey Pound, the main character in this episode, is a single woman who shares a two-bedroom apartment with her brother in an average middle-class neighborhood. She lives in a world where people are constantly rating everyone they interact with on a scale of 1 to 5. In Lacey's world, nearly everyone wears high-tech contact lenses that allow the wearer to see the names and average rating of everyone they meet just by looking at them. In addition, once the facial recognition in the contact lens has identified the person you are looking at, it can also display their social media profile and show you other information about them, such as who their friends are, and more importantly, how highly rated their friends are. If you are wondering when this technology will be available in the real world, it's already here. In 2024, two college students hooked Meta's Ray-Ban smart glasses up to a facial recognition system that allowed them to walk down a hallway on campus and in real time find the name, phone number, home address, and the names of relatives of the people they were walking past. The students didn't break any laws, but they demonstrated how easily these could be misused by a stalker or a scammer. Next month, I will be posting a video in which I test ways to prevent someone wearing these from recording your conversations. Getting back to Nosedive, to help ensure she makes the best possible first impression on everyone she meets, Lacey spends time every morning practicing her exaggerated fake smile and fake laugh. The people in Lacey's life range from her old high school friend Naomi, who she has not seen in years and who is an elite 4.8, to Lacey's coworker Chester, who is now buying and giving away smoothies to everyone at work to try and boost his dangerously low score of 3.1. In a later scene, corporate security prevents Chester from even entering the building because his score has dropped down into the twos. In contrast to Lacey, who is obsessed with her score, her brother Ryan accepts the social stagnation that comes with having a lower score because he values authenticity over advancement. Lacey tells her brother the reason she never brought any guys home was because she was embarrassed for anyone to meet her brother, who is just a 3.7. Lacey decides to move out on her own, and she tours a luxury apartment that she really likes, but she can't afford it unless she can qualify for the 20% discount offered to super influencers who have a rating of 4.5 or higher. So she hires a reputation consultant who analyzes her rating history, and he tells her while she gets a lot of 5-star ratings from service workers and her high 3 to low 4 friends, if she really wants to get her rating up to a 4.5, she needs to focus on getting 5-star ratings from people who are in the high 4s. Luckily for Lacey, her 4.8 friend Naomi just got engaged, and she invites Lacey to be her bridesmaid and to give a speech at her wedding that will be attended by 100 people who are all 4.7s and above. This is a golden opportunity for Lacey to boost her rating. What could possibly go wrong? 6 weeks later, after an argument with her brother, a coffee mishap with a neighbor, and a bad encounter with an annoyed taxi driver, all of whom give Lacey poor ratings, she arrives at the airport for her flight to her friend's wedding. She learns that her flight has been canceled, and the only other flight that would get her there on time is an exclusive flight reserved for people with a 4.2 rating or higher. But unfortunately, Lacey is now just a 4.183. Lacey gets upset, raises her voice, and uses profanity, which causes everyone standing around her to give her a 1-star rating, which further lowers her overall score. Then the gate agent calls security to have Lacey escorted out, and he issues her a temporary 1-point penalty for being disruptive in public. The system really compounds penalties rapidly. Lacey goes to rent a car and must wait in a long line because the express lane is reserved for people with a 4.0 or higher. When she finally gets to the rental agent, he sees that she has a rating that's now below 3, so she is only allowed to rent one of their Super Saver cars, which means an old electric vehicle that hasn't been made in years. She drives through the night until she must stop to recharge her rental car, and that is when she realizes it is so old, it uses a different plug than what is available at the recharging station, so she is now stranded. At this point, her only option is to hitchhike, but nobody wants to stop and help a person who is only a 2.8, except for a truck driver named Susan, who stops and offers Lacey a ride, but Lacey is hesitant to get into the truck with someone who is only a 1.4. In desperation, Lacey gets in, and as they drive, Susan tells Lacey that she was once just like her. Susan was once a 4.6 before her husband was diagnosed with cancer. As his condition worsened, his social rating began to drop, not because he did anything wrong, but because the illness made him inconvenient, sad, and socially awkward in a system that rewards cheerfulness. When he died, Susan's score started dropping because she was grieving and uncomfortable to be around. People withdrew from her because they didn't want to jeopardize their own reputation scores they had worked so hard to build. They were simply responding to the incentive, both rewards and punishments, imposed by the system they were living in. Susan said when she realized cancer doesn't care about your score, she quit caring about it as well. Susan takes Lacey to within 30 miles of the wedding. Lacey has been through a lot, but is determined to arrive and give her bridesmaid speech. She catches another ride in an RV that will take her to the town where the wedding is being held. While in the RV, just a few miles from the wedding, she gets a phone call that triggers a complete meltdown. Naomi is disinviting her to the wedding because she cannot have a 2.8 showing up at her wedding and embarrassing her in front of all of her 4.7 and above friends. Lacey argues with Naomi that they have been friends for years and she can't revoke her invitation over a reputation score. Naomi then reveals the only reason she invited Lacey was because Naomi's reputation consultant thought it would help Naomi hit a 4.9 by allowing an old friend who was only a 4.2 to be part of her wedding. In other words, both women's behavior was being driven by algorithmic points rather than by a meaningful relationship. Not thinking clearly, Lacey decides to crash the wedding and give her speech anyway, but when she arrives at the gated community, she realizes she can't get in through the main gate. She decides to hike around through an adjacent woods and climb a fence to sneak into the wedding where all the fake, perfect, smiling people are gathered. Naomi is horrified to see when Lacey shows up, looking disheveled and giving a totally inappropriate speech under the circumstances. It doesn't go well for Lacey as the entire crowd gives her one-star ratings. Lacey is tackled to the ground and hauled away from the wedding by security. In jail, she has her mugshot taken, and her phone and high-tech contact lenses are taken away from her. In her cell, she gets into an argument with a man in a nearby cell, and out of muscle memory, she tries to downvote him. They end up facing each other across the hallway, hurling insults and using profanity at each other, and it is then she realizes she has more freedom in jail with her phone and contacts taken away than she had living her normal life, under the watchful eye of the ever-present rating system. Jails only limit your physical movement. Oppressive surveillance and scoring systems limit your speech and your spirit. Ultimately, this episode isn't really about technology. It's about the human spirit. I want to quickly share three thoughts about this Black Mirror episode. This channel is not about religion, but I will never hide my faith. My first thought comes from one of my favorite Christian artists, Casting Crowns, who released a song in 2005 called Stained Glass Masquerade. Lacey practiced her exaggerated fake smile to make a great first impression with people because that is what the system rewarded. But wearing a fake smile for others is harmful to us as individuals and to society as a whole. Wearing an emotional mask comes at tremendous personal cost. That scene reminded me of these lyrics that I won't attempt to sing, but I encourage you to click the link in the description and listen to it free on YouTube. Is there anyone who fails? Is there anyone who falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? Because when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. So I tuck it all away like everything's okay. If I make them all believe it, maybe I'll believe it too. So with a painted grin, I'll play the part again, so everyone will see me the way that I see them. The performance is convincing and we know every line by heart. Only when no one is watching can we really fall apart. But would it set me free if I dared to let you see the truth behind the person that you imagine me to be? Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeples with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. That song brought tears to my eyes the first time I heard it. In Nosedive, Susan, the truck driver, was set free by the loss of her husband and the realization cancer doesn't care about anyone's score the way that some people and institutions do. With a score of just 1.4, the only work she could find was being a truck driver. But you saw a genuine happiness in her eyes that was missing from everyone else in the entire episode who was wearing a fake smile. Algorithms don't care about you. Even the ones that seem helpful weren't really designed to help you. They were designed to separate you from your money and or control you. My second thought about this episode is that nearly all American adults have already been assigned a reputation/social credit score without our consent. My Life is a data aggregator that has already assigned a reputation score to nearly everyone using their own proprietary algorithm that synthesizes data about you from court records, your income, your social media, your work and education history, and personal reviews that can be submitted by anonymous people. They are a company that collects detailed personal information about you while calling themselves a safety company. According to their FAQ page, MyLife currently has over 325 million reputation profiles with information about almost everyone in America age 18 and older. This is absolutely not a sponsored video because I personally find this company's business model repulsive. But if you register an account with them, they will give you some basic control over your reputation profile. And if you join them as a premium member, in other words, if you give them money, they will allow you to delete anonymous reviews they have allowed other people to leave about you. The incentives created by this business model raise serious ethical and legal questions. In 2021, MyLife.com was hit with a class action lawsuit that cost them $34 million, but they are still in business as of this recording and still scoring people without our consent. My final thought is that the reputation score in Nosedive also reminds me of the company Gagework that has created a reputation system they describe as a workforce community for the ones who clock in. Gagework describes themselves as the world's first universal transferable employment record that can be used to raise your wages and expand your opportunities. Their website brags about how your boss and coworkers can review you and give you high fives, and you can share that with future potential employers. Several YouTubers have compared Gagework.com to social credit scores for employees, and for the sake of time, I have linked to some of their videos in the description of this video, rather than going into detail about them myself. I have several more videos planned in my Signals and Society series, but what books, videos, or TV episodes would you like to see me cover in a future video? What other thoughts do you have about Nosedive? This week I'm going to be creating free downloadable discussion guides for both The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street and for this video. I don't pretend to have all the answers. That is why I share my ideas, but I never insist people have to agree with me. I will close this video with a quote I first heard repeated by one of my doctoral professors back in 2010. It is better to have unanswered questions than unquestioned answers.